CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. AUKUS, Australia, the United Kingdom, and the United States. A very exciting possibility for the 21st century. Got China's attention, gets Washington's attention as well. But what does it mean to Australia? Gregory Copley, my dear colleague, he has dispatched himself to his homeland. He is now in Melbourne, the capital of Victoria State. He's headed to Perth, the capital of the Western Australia state where Gregory was raised. And we are talking AUKUS. Gregory, a very good morning to you in Melbourne. The reason AUKUS is in the news is because it's such a good idea that came together suddenly. You've been discussing this with Australians and Australian leadership, Australian authorities. Does it resonate with the population in Australia, or is there still education to do about what this means for the future? Good evening to you.
Good evening and good morning, John. Well, AUKUS certainly resonates with the Australian population, and for good reason. This global alliance is really the only alliance which addresses the perpetuation of the Western-dominated rules-based world order. And that's what concerns the People's Republic of China so much. Xi Jinping, when he declared war on the United States in September 2018, when he formally declared war, he said that he was starting a new 30 years war, which would result in a new treaty. In other words, a new treaty of Westphalia, because he was mimicking the language of the 30 years war, which ended with the peace of Westphalia. And the Treaty of Westphalia at the end of that was the thing which defined the rules-based world order, which came to be dominated by Britain and then subsequently, post-World War II, by the United States. And Xi Jinping has said that he wanted that rules-based world order to be rewritten at the end of the new 30 years war by Beijing, which would then be the leader of the rules-based world order. Well, AUKUS literally defines the only global approach, including the United States and Great Britain and now Australia, to really have the capability to perpetuate that maritime-oriented drive to assure, if you like, a freedom of the seas and an orderly world order. But I was just before I came to Melbourne, I was in Brisbane for the Australian leadership retreat. Met with senior Australian defence officials, uniformed officials, plus the chief defence scientist, and we discussed a lot of detail. Some of it was off the record, so I can't talk about it, but it was a lot of detail about the transfer of technology between the AUKUS members. And that is not just about U.S. transfer of technology regarding nuclear submarine propulsion. It's about a wide range of technologies, some of which are uniquely being pioneered in Australia. I know most Americans are accustomed to the reality that or to the belief that all advanced technology flows from the United States to the rest of the world and the like. But going back as far as the Wright brothers' designed for their box kite aircraft, that came from Australia, and many other technologies have come from Australia subsequently, including the torpedo and the like, and refrigeration and so on. The reality is that Australia is now highly advanced in autonomous strategic submarines, in other words, unmanned submarines, which will be part of the package. It's very advanced in hypersonic flight technologies and science, and already has become integrated into the U.S. hypersonic weapons program with Australian technology in that. So this is very much a joint collaborative alliance, which will see Australia adding real value to the United States technology mix and speeding up the U.S. recovery in defense technologies, which are going to be critical for the confrontation with China. Now, the transfer, of course, of some U.S. technology into the Australian submarine program, which will involve Australia and the United Kingdom actually designing and building the next Australian-built nuclear submarine, that is advancing well. But that won't come until well after the China threat has played out. The reality is that the People's Republic of China will either implode economically and politically before the new nuclear submarines come online, or will be engaged in a war with the United States and Australia and their allies, again, before the nuclear submarines are delivered to Australia. So the initial media preoccupation with AUKUS as it relates to nuclear submarines is very much out of kilter, because the nuclear submarines are part of a longer-term AUKUS play, and the reality is that the alliance is also dealing with the shorter-term reality of how do you deal with a China which implodes politically and reacts to that in a perhaps unstable ways. We have to deal with the short- and long-term realities of AUKUS. But in the short term, the United States will get something which it has really long needed and Australia has long resisted, which is substantial basing of U.S. forces in Australia, which is something that they did during World War II, with the second largest submarine flotilla of the U.S. Navy being based in Fremantle, Western Australia, for the war, and, of course, substantial U.S. forces going from Australia up into the island hopping campaign alongside Australian troops. We have to bear in mind that also General MacArthur's forces, which he used in the South Pacific, and he always referred to his command of Allied forces in the South Pacific. And for the first substantial period of the war against Japan, the only ground forces under General MacArthur's control were Australians and New Zealanders, and the American ground forces came much later.
The Fremantle port that you mentioned, it's famous, the city of Fremantle, and the reason it's famous is because of the basing of the U.S. submarine fleet in the Second War. However, all of this is in the future. Right now is not only the United States, but the United Kingdom. And that's a troubled land, as you know, Jeffrey. They're troubled because of the Tories have been in power for a long time and have recently been through changes that make everybody unclear what the future is. What is the UK participation? UK is a nuclear power. It has a nuclear submarine, or maybe more than one. I don't know. It has technology, I believe, that has been transferred from the US. How does the UK participate with Australia in AUKUS?
Well, the nuclear development program during and after World War II included Australia, the United States, and Great Britain. And Australia actually opted out of that nuclear exchange after World War II, but Britain did not. So a lot of the development of nuclear weapons and nuclear propulsion was made jointly by the United States and the United Kingdom. The Labour governments in the United Kingdom dropped the ball on nuclear propulsion. So when Britain went for nuclear-powered submarines, the US was actively engaged in supporting that. Today, the United Kingdom's Royal Navy operates a substantial fleet of nuclear-powered submarines armed with nuclear weapons as well. And they include the hunter-killer-type submarines, the attack submarines like the Virginia class in the United States, and the current lead class in that for the Royal Navy is the Astute class. And they also have what are called boomers, or submarines which launch ballistic missiles, and they're a heavier submarine. And Britain also has a fleet of those and is getting a new fleet. The United Kingdom, although it's still building the Astute class, is going to build a post-Astute class, which will now be known as the AUKUS SSN, because it will be the submarine which will be fitted for the Royal Navy and for the Royal Australian Navy. So that so the Royal Australian Navy will get British-designed submarines, but those submarines will also include a lot of U.S. technology, as does the present Australian conventional submarine class, which will continue in operation for the next decade and a half. So the main Australian submarine fleet will be based at HMAS Stirling, Her Majesty's Australian Ship Stirling, and that's what they call a stone frigate. In other words, a naval base which has the name of a ship. And that's based just south of Fremantle. And until the new nuclear submarines for the Royal Australian Navy come online there, Australia will deploy 3 to 5 U.S.-built Virginia-class attack submarines, which it will acquire from the U.S. Navy after they've completed their U.S. Navy service. But even before that, the U.S. Navy will deploy its own Virginia-class submarines at HMAS Stirling, south of Fremantle, and the British will deploy some of their Astute-class SSNs at HMAS Stirling. So in very short order, there will be an increased nuclear submarine capacity operating out of the Indian Ocean, and will be able to act in defense and clearance of the Southeast Asian straits and waterways through Indonesia and up into the South China Sea, where the People's Republic of China has deployed large fleet elements already and has built up, as you know, those island bases in the South China Sea. So this is going to dramatically change the balance of power against the PLA Navy, and will offset some of the gains which the PLA Navy has made against the U.S. Navy, because now, as you know, the PLA Navy is the largest navy in the world and probably one of the most modern large navies in the world. So it's having AUKUS is a real force multiplier for the United States and the West in containing the expansion of the Chinese.
Gregory Copley, Defense and Foreign Affairs in Melbourne. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.